comfortable?
Yeah.
I won't keep you more than 10 minutes.
Okay, dear.
Tell me something. When did you start writing these letters?
God, when did the war start?
41. Well, before then, wasn't it? When they started,
when they started to draft the men.
About 1940.
Yeah.
You were down to 515 French.
515 French.
What were you doing down? Are you on the staff, were you?
Oh, sure. I started the work on the staff in 1934.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah.
1934. That's when it was still under the Atascodish, was it?
No. When the Atascodish had it, they closed it up for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And then Harry Cohn went to the Avoda Club and asked them if they would take the white elephant off their hand and run the play.
I see.
And then they were meeting up at the Covenant Club.
The Avoda Club.
Yeah, the Avoda Club.
Yeah, the Covenant Club was on Market Street.
They started the Avoda Club met. The Covenant Club was above the Wilmington Savings Fund.
That's right, yeah.
And this is where they started to have the meetings to reopen the center.
I see. That's where they used to play gambling boys up there.
Yeah, the gambling boys.
Okay, so then the YMHA, then the Avoda Club opened it as the YMHA.
Yes, it was the YMHA.
Well, you were out of school then, weren't you?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, so then you were on the staff, and who was the director, so-called director?
Well, the director was this Solid, sure. I want to tell you, Solid was responsible for the organization of the Jewish Federation of Delaware, too.
Tell me how.
And I'll tell you how.
Okay.
We used to sit around and have all these bullshit sessions at night till about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we asked them, what did they do in Washington?
Yeah.
Because the assistant director. Yeah. So he was the one that told us about a federation.
Uh-huh.
Now, they may have had a federation here, but it was dormant.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
No, there wasn't any.
So I said, well, why can't we have this here?
Yeah.
So he was, Lou Simon was acting president at the time. And he said, well, why don't we get in touch with what we called the advisory board at the time, which I'd be Finkelstein, Harry Braunstein, Theodore Tuckerman, Saul Combs, and a whole gang of them. So they called a meeting up at the Hotel DuPont, and he explained all this to them.
It must have been around 1934.
Yep, it could have been around 1934.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, it was all through that one year.
Yeah.
And then at that meeting, I remember Izzy Belfin and I were minding the store. There was nobody else there.
Izzy Belfin?
Izzy Belfin was in the office with me. And Solis says, don't leave this office until you hear from me.
Yeah.
So he drove by in his car, and he honked the horn. He was meeting at the apartment.
Yeah.
And he was living around 12th and Market.
Yeah.
So anyhow, we both went up there, and he says, you know what?
Yeah.
I think the thing's going to work.
Good.
He says, we had this meeting, and we're going to call another meeting. So then they called another meeting, and they wanted Solis to run both the Federation and the Center.
Possible.
Yeah, so he says, now wait a minute, there's enough work here for two men. And Solid was one of the men to pick Coder.
Coder, yeah.
Yeah. Then they started to interview, and they interviewed various men, and Solid and the committee picked Coder.
Good.
And that's how Coder came in the picture.
Well, now when you were in there, what was your title when the war started to Solid? What was your assistant or what?
No, I was still the secretary of the office, that's all.
Secretary of the office, Girl Friday.
I was Girl Friday. Who was on the staff? Me and Mr. Solid. And we had, remember Frank the janitor?
Yeah.
That was the whole goddamn staff. And then we had Joe Crow, who was going to the University of Delaware.
Yeah.
He came up and he had gym classes after school. He was working up there.
Yeah.
When Joe Crow left, he recommended Johnny Russo, and that's how Johnny Russo came in.
Johnny Russo, yeah.
Yeah.
He was not Jewish.
No, Johnny. Yeah. Neither was Joe Crow.
I think Russo used to work for the Allied Kids, didn't he?
No, it was through the center that Russo got the job at the Allied Kids.
Through who? Solid?
Yeah.
Oh, so he got the
job
up there.
No, what happened was, when Russo worked with us, he left after a while. He stayed there for quite some time. And he left, and he went to teach school. Saul Cohn liked him very, very much.
He
got in touch with Russo and asked Russo if he would come down to see him, and that's how Russo became the personnel manager of the Allied Kid Company.
Okay, so now the war starts, and the boys
And the war rested. Starts, the few handful of men went, and I think there's a recorder there, and we called it the Words from the Front.
Yeah.
And I said to Mr. Sowell, I said, you know what? they seem to be having a nice time. It isn't that bad. Everybody's scared to death.
Yeah.
You know, there was no war as far as the United
yeah.
States was concerned.
Yeah.
We've started to bring the boys in.
Yeah.
And so we had about three or four letters in there.
Yeah.
And
the
gradually...
What do you mean you started bringing the boys in?
Huh?
They were
inducting the fellas before the
war. Yeah, yeah,
for six months they were
That's
inducted,
right, yeah,
remember?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it reactivated, it was
yeah,
there, but
yeah.
then they brought in a lot of fellas
yeah.
down at Fort DuPont.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we had a problem because there were Jewish boys from New York there, and they came to the Senate, and the girls wouldn't even bother talking to them. So we had to go because, you know, years ago, if you were in the Army, you were a bum.
Yeah.
So we had to go into the meeting, fellas and I. We would go to the sorority meeting,
yeah.
and we tell them, now listen, this could be your brother. And
yeah.
so you have to start acting like they're your
yeah,
brother
in the early days,
and
no,
accept them.
No self-respecting Jewish girl played around with a soldier.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You ought to know that. And that's how we had to break down that barrier.
Yeah.
And then these boys were sent home, and another group came
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Then, of course, when the war broke out, then it was different entirely.
How did the letters start coming in?
Well, that's how the letters started to come in when the boys went before the war.
Yeah.
Now, there are some recorders there, and it has on their words from the front.
Yeah.
That's what I called the column then.
Yeah.
And I think Sam Geller, Artie Blattman, and a few of those fellows was
yeah.
one of the few, very few. Now, the first group that was really activated was the 198 with Dr. Barsky.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, they went over,
yeah. They were the first ones to go overseas.
Yeah.
Because I remember that I got a phone call, and I listened on the radio,
yeah.
and they said, anybody in the 198
yeah.
to report immediately to the Armory,
yeah.
and a whole gang came running into the center, and I said, you better go over
yeah.
to the Armory right away. So that's how all that started.
But in the beginning, you were actually writing the letters to these guys, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
When did you start publishing them?
Well, we start publishing, I think, almost right away. Now,
well,
the Dear Molly
stuff
didn't start until later because the Solid went and changed the column, the words in front, and he changed it to Dear Molly. I was on vacation or something. I came back and I saw a new heading. It said Dear Molly.
Oh,
yeah.
But see,
yeah.
I've got the recorders here from 1940, and I don't see any Dear Molly stuff
to
yet.
There has to be some there from 19, whenever they start to go in, I don't know.
I have some here from
96. Isn't there any recorder that said the words from the front there? Because when I was with Ralph Tomasis, I found some and gave them to him.
Yeah, well, I'm looking for them. Who got the name Dear Molly?
Mr.
Holliday
didn't put the name Dear Molly
that's
on
good.
There. Yeah.
How many do you think you finally wrote? My God, that's what you've been doing all...
There was about 600 and some odd letters.
Yeah.
And one year we had the campaign, I said, I can't write these.
Okay, I got one here for now. Listen, I got one here from 1942.
Yeah.
And it says, listen what it says. We have inaugurated a new column. The former word from the front is now Dear Molly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I started to mimeograph the letter because I just didn't have time. We had campaigns. Then I start getting letters back from the fellows, never mind mimeographing. We don't want any mimeograph letters. I used to sit up to 3, 4 o'clock in the morning at home writing letters.
Longhand.
Yeah, sure.
Did you type any?
No, they didn't like to type.
They didn't like
letters.
Type, okay.
No. If I got a chance in the office, I could type them, but most of them were in longhand.
They liked the longhand things.
No, well, there wasn't only that. I just didn't have time. I was working in the
yeah.
office. And then I'd take them home.
Well, you must
have
been writing about
four.
You must
my mother would yell from upstairs, Molly, it's enough.
Yeah.
Go to bed.
Yeah. You must have been writing at one peak would be about 400 fellas?
Oh, yeah, more than that. Because, you know, some boys like Davy Glazer was up in Alaska, and I was down at Salt Conn's office, and they had this calendar that they sent in. Each one was a separate sheet,
yeah, yeah.
and they were sort of half-naked girls.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I think I'm going to take this if Saul will give it to me, and I'll send it up to Alaska.
Yeah.
So he gave it to me, and I sent it to Alaska, and they lived in Quonset huts up there,
yeah, yeah.
and there was a boy from Milford,
yeah.
and a boy from another boy, these are Christian boys.
Yeah.
There was a whole gang in this one Quonset hut.
Yeah.
When Davy was taken out of that Quonset hut, they started to write to me that he took all the pictures away, and I sent more pictures. I had pictures of all those fellows and dogs. They had a couple of dogs up there. So it wasn't only boys that they, you know, were in the service with. They also wrote. I didn't know some of these fellows.
Now, They just wrote to you what they were doing, and you wrote back what was going on in town.
Yeah, I wrote. And another thing, after we learned, you know, writing it for a long time, but the APOs gave us an idea just about
where they were,
station.
You could pretty well tell where they were, couldn't you?
Yeah, yes, we did. I remember Mrs. Singer calling me up when Louis became prisoner of war, you know, we didn't hear from him.
Yeah.
And I knew that mail had stopped coming from that APO.
Yeah, yeah.
The mail would stop coming altogether for about 2 weeks, and I knew that there was something happening there. So I used to say, well, I haven't heard from this fella and that fella.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to placate them a little bit and tell them that there's nothing wrong, they're okay. But we always had an idea just about where the war was really going on from the APOs as soon as the mail stopped coming.
Now, what you have saved and given to the Historical Society are the letters that you got, right?
Oh, yeah.
How about the letters you sent out? Have you seen any of them at all?
No, I never got anything back. When I said I guess they read them. Sometimes they passed them on to other fellows.
Other people, yeah.
Like, when I found out about, what's his name? Martin Berger was in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I knew that Rabbi Pavel was someplace in that vicinity.
Oh, I see.
So I wrote him a letter, and I said, I think if you'll go to this hospital, you're going to find some Wilmington boys there.
At one time, how many do you think you were writing to at one particular time? About 500?
Oh,
I guess, when did you stop writing? When the war was over?
When the war was over and the boys all started to come home.
Uh-huh.
And
so that was from about 1940 to 1946.
Yeah.
How long, when did you stop, when did you get, leave the Y?
Oh, I never left the Y until 71 of this year, of 1971.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I worked straight through, I worked 34 years there.
Were you there when they moved to the new building?
Yes.
Oh, I see. And then,
When Bluestone left, then Quorum Loon came,
uh-huh.
and I was ready to quit.
Uh-huh.
And then the board got after me, they said, you have to stay, you have to stay.
What's going on here.
So finally they talked me into staying, and then that's when we started to make plans for the new building.
In six, that was in 1966, something like that.
Let me see, 66, I guess it was.
In 66, the plans, I got it in front of me,
Now I gave, what's his name, a pamphlet of the picture of the, I gave Jeff it, and on top it says Molly Strutt, and it says, now wait a minute. Written on there that they weren't the completed plan. I gave it to Mr. Rabbi Geff, and I said, you want this? He said, I'll take it. And he took that away from me. So that would give you the year on that.
I have it here, the recorder. September 1966, plans for the new center building.
Yeah.
Got a picture of Judge Herman and Charles Alea. Yeah. Tell me something, Mom. Were you born in Wilmington?
Sure. Right down
where?
On 2nd Street.
On 2nd Street?
Sure.
Tell me, who your father and mother? Who your father?
My father's name was Abraham Sklut.
Abe Sklut, with the little beard jet.
Yeah, a little tiny one.
Who's the Sklut? Who's the Sklut lives next door to me on Front Street?
That was Elliot Sklut. That was the Ann Wheeler's father. That's how I got to know you.
On Front Street?
On Front Street.
Oh, see, I knew Matt Eisman. He lived at...
Yeah, Matt lived there with Libby.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Their grandparents raised them.
And Anna Sklut.
Anna Sklut, and there was Morris, and there was Abe.
Whatever happened to Anna?
And Ann still lived in Wilmington, Washington Street.
Really?
She married Meyer Wheeler, and she has a son, Bobby Wheeler, who's a pharmacist out at the Wilmington General Hospital.
Is Wheeler Jewish?
Huh?
Jewish name, Wheeler?
Sure. Don't you remember Meyer Wheeler in Wilmington?
Oh, yeah.
He worked at the Pappas Brothers Company.
Yeah. So you were born on 2nd Street?
Yes, born on 2nd Street.
Where? What address?
That I don't know. I don't know whether it's born 2nd and Orange or 102 at 2nd Street. But I know it was between...
Your father was a butcher, right?
My papa's a kosher butcher.
Kosher butcher, yeah. Yeah, now he has a nice little beard. I got a picture of him.
He's a little tiny one. He's on the building committee of the YMHA. His picture's on there.
On French Street.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
Pop was president of the Addis Kodish at the time.
Yeah, so you went through, number two school? No,
I went to number three
school.
And number four. And then number four was crowded.
Yeah.
And they had the annex of the Wilmington High School. So the 8th grade had to go up to the Wilmington High School annex. Because there was no room at number four school for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. How are you feeling, Molly?
Well, I'm just, I don't know what to tell you,
Bill. I bet you're not as old as I am, are you?
No, I'm not as old as you are, but I'll tell you something. I feel like I'm 100.
All right.
If I could get the use of my arms back, and I probably won't.
Oh.
How's your wife feel?
She doesn't go there anymore. She's all right.
Yeah, I know. Mary Brown was down here yesterday from up there. And she said that she belongs to friends, you know.
You remember that big story I did about you with the letters in the background?
Well, do you remember the week before you wrote that story?
Yeah.
You wrote, you always had every Saturday a half a page.
That's right,
the second section. And then you would announce what was coming the following Saturday.
Yeah.
And the announcement on that Saturday page was 100 letters of the girl.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then the following week was the story.
It was on the first page of the second section.
It was on the first page of the second section.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Really?
And not all the time. Every once in a while you had articles about me in your Man About Town.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And there was one article that was excellent. You said if anybody saved every reporter, they would have a good insight of the Second World War.
That's right.
I remember that.
Well, Zach is in. Take care of yourself, Molly.
Yeah, I'm going to try, dear.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're not supposed to do it.
It works. It's recording right now.
Yeah, I know. Go to the shit. What I'll do.
Do it this way.
I'll do it until then.
And it works every time.
Yeah. See, now it's recording because this is down. I thought you knew that.
No, wait a minute. No.
It's recording. Now it's recording.
Okay, but why don't you do it my way? Then, instead of pushing them both at the same time, it's this way.
Yeah, I know, but...